Your health matters. Get health information and tips on how to stay healthy. This is Your Health Matters.
Hello and welcome to Your Health Matters, a health education program that teaches you how to stay healthy and also advocates for your well-being. My name is ID Oshisonya. On this program, we have interesting discussions which are centered around your health and general wellness. We also provide answers to those burning health issues you may have. Remember, you can send such questions to our WhatsApp number, which is 0805-855-8650. You can also email us at drshonowo@gmail.com. We shall endeavor to answer questions that you send to us during the next episode. Last week, we were talking about male infertility on the program, and I had in-house expert Dr. Shonowo to discuss causes of male infertility. I have him here again with me today. We had such an interesting discussion. We really couldn't conclude our discussion on the factors that influence male infertility. So we'll continue the discussion in this episode. So you're welcome once again, Dr. Shonowo.
Thank you.
Now, if I recall correctly, we were talking about medical conditions that affect male fertility. I remember you talked about the quality of the sperm. You talked about the role of sperm in conception.
Yes.
You talked about the quality of the sperm, you talked about the functionality, and you talked about what is required in terms of male count, the sperm count, if I recall, and the healthy nature of sperm in order to be able to conceive. You also talked about some of the medical conditions or causes. I knew you were talking about the testicles not descending, you were talking about infections and some ailments, childhood diseases such as mumps that can end up causing male infertility in the future.
And female. Like I said in the other episode, to get a woman pregnant, what are the necessary things? I'll just do a quick recap. You know, you must be able to produce healthy sperm. You know, male infertility is a complex process, and process involves step. So the initial step is producing healthy sperm. You have to be able to produce healthy sperm. Your sperm have to be able to move. You have to carry it to where it becomes semen, that is to the prostate gland. So that means the tubes have to be healthy and patent, you understand? Then there has to be enough sperm in your semen. You understand? I said it is 15 million, some say 20 million per mil of sperm. You are supposed to produce like between 3 to 5 mils of sperm. So that's like 60 to 100 million sperm cells per ejaculate. You understand what I'm saying? So, and then your sperm must also be functional, normal in appearance, and be able to move. Those are basically the things they look out for in sperm count. And we mentioned some medical causes. So we can go to the environmental causes and health and the lifestyle causes now. So
are there any other causes of male infertility apart from medical causes
that we mentioned in
last week?
There's the environmental causes, you know, there's the exposure to industrial chemicals, you understand? But that really, from my experience, is not a common cause. It's not part of the common causes of male infertility, but it is still a cause and it should be mentioned.
Okay, you know, there are some myths. I've heard it said that those who work in breweries, for example, exposure to some of the chemicals used in brewing
that breweries, pesticides, herbicides, painting materials.
Is that a factor?
Yes.
How significant?
Not really, 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 because most of the time they wear protective covering.
Okay, but in a place like Nigeria where
some might choose, because something is protected doesn't mean it's comfortable.
Okay.
So if they are working longer, some might just, you know, we take things for granted a lot. Some people might just decide to take things for granted and then take it off.
But you know, in the informal sector, I know that in companies, in proper, in industries and companies where they have HSC policies, they do that. But I'm talking about the informal sector. And there's quite a significant number of people who work in the sector. I'm talking about the welders, the painters. I can't recall the last time I saw a painter come by my house to paint and he was all geared up.
No. It's not. It's painting things used to make paint.
Oh, okay. So not just the actual paint. Okay. So it's when they're actually manufacturing the paint, the chemicals that you use. Oh, okay. So they have to be high grade industrial chemicals, not just your daily, the ones we encounter daily.
Yeah, so exposure to heavy metals like lead and coal. Then there's
what about asbestos? Would that be an issue? Asbestos.
Asbestos. I think that's more of a respiratory disease.
Okay,
thing.
Not so much.
More.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's more of a lung. The lungs. That one affects the lungs more. You understand? So then there's the radiation or X-rays. You know, people who go for who work in X-ray. Centers,
so they're at risk.
Understand? People who work in nuclear plants.
Okay, now
you understand. People who work with laptops, who put laptops on their lap. Who work with laptops on their
Laptops.
Yes.
On laps.
Yes.
Why would that be an issue? How is that an issue?
It can be a source of radiation and heat.
That's an interesting factor you have raised, because particularly in this generation, this day and age, everybody uses their laptops, and for the most part, we have them sitting on our laps when we're working for hours on end.
Yes, well,
so that can actually be a significant problem for male.
It is.
It is already a significant problem. Are you seeing an increase in people who are presenting with such issues?
Yes, you know the thing, one of the Achilles tendon, let me just put it that way, of the male testicle is heat. It cannot withstand even your own body heat. Talk less of heat from an external source, direct heat from external source. So anything that would increase the temperature of the testicle is going to cause trouble. We know how hot laptops can get.
Yes, they can really be very, very hot.
People still put them on their legs.
So you would recommend, in short, that people should have laptops on other surfaces and not put them on their bodies.
So, which brings me to my next course, overheating of the testicles. You know, in those days, it used to be people who drive for long distances, the tanker and lorry drivers who drive long distances. But it's not about driving long distances anymore. Traffic in Lagos State alone is enough.
That's true. You spend 3 to 4 hours.
Yes, because the testicles are in between the laps. The cars are usually, especially if it's a commercial bus, there is heat in the commercial bus.
So what do we do?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
So what I'm just simply saying now is that if you are in traffic for such a long period, maybe you should come down and walk.
Yeah, maybe.
In the interest of testicular health.
Yes. Because the thing is, you spend so much as in traffic, you get to work, you put your laptop on your lap, and then you spend so much going back home. So much time.
So what you're saying now is that the general lifestyle habits of people nowadays tends to predispose them towards infertility,
People sit for long periods.
Sitting for long periods is an issue.
Yes, now because your testicles are in between your labs and close to the abdomen, it can run free like when you are standing. Maybe when they sit, if you are sitting down for long and in a hot environment. You understand what I'm saying? The testicles can fall freely. Now it will be there, it will be trapped. You understand what I'm saying? Then, you know, wearing tight clothing, which is very common these days. You see people wearing tight clothing.
Skinny jeans.
Yeah, skinny jeans. You understand? Wearing skinny jeans and sitting down for long hours inside a bus. With also, and you know, those kind of boys are always on their laptops.
Always on their laptops.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
So,
taking frequent hot baths too. Frequent.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it heats up the
testicles. It heats up the testicles.
Visiting the sauna, trying to chop life, and you go to the sauna regularly, you know, and it heats up.
So that's
the
a risk factor.
Yes. So that's that with the environment. That's a major cause. So we have the lifestyle.
Are there other health and lifestyle causes?
Yes. There's the drug abuse. Like I mentioned, the use of anabolic steroids. It can, people use it to stimulate muscle growth and strength.
So those are those people who do bodybuilding.
Yes, but the thing is, it actually...
So it can be a side effect.
It actually shrinks the sperm, the testicles.
So...
They usually have small testicles.
Oh, okay.
The ones that have used it for a long period.
Long
those macho men, you see, they usually have small testicles. And if you've gone close to the women, to women that have been with a lot of them, they will tell you they usually don't perform well in the bedroom
because testosterone is reduced. The level of testosterone is reduced.
Okay. So there's alcohol.
Just a bit, sorry doctor, cocaine and such hard drugs, are there also issues? Because you know,
cocaine especially can transiently, temporarily reduce
the sperm count.
And if prolonged, you understand, but it's not really a cause of long term, you understand, because you can't, to be factual, you can't really use cocaine on a long term. The person will most likely die from
an overdose of some sort.
So then there is the alcohol, you understand. Alcohol causes male infertility in many ways. You know, it can lower your testosterone level directly, you understand. It can also give you something they call erectile dysfunction. You won't even be able to maintain an erection. And the thing is, for you to impregnate a woman, you need good erection to be able to bring the sperm out.
So does that mean men shouldn't take alcohol?
Minimum. Decrease it. Keep it at the very optimal. Let me put it that way. I can't ask people not to drink. That would be me being unrealistic.
Everything in moderation.
Yeah. So alcohol can also cause liver disease, which will in turn lead to fertility problems. So it causes male infertility directly and also indirectly.
Okay.
And there's tobacco smoking. People who smoke may have low sperm count compared to those who don't smoke. Yes.
What about secondhand smoke? Does that also be an issue?
It may be an issue. Then there's stress. You understand? You can't be a Lagosian, a regular Lagosian, and say you are not stressed. That one most of the time causes erectile dysfunction. I mean, you can't be living in Songo and be working in Lekki. You wake up 3 a.m. to get to work on time. You spend like 4 hours in traffic. You work most likely on a laptop, on your laps. You most likely wear tight pants and stuff. And then you go back, you are stressed, the heat, the smoke fumes from other cars and everything. You get home, you can't even sleep for more than, you get home like 12 a.m. You can't get up to 3 hours of sleep. You have to go to work the next day again. And God help you if you have a very bad boss. You understand? So stress is enough, causes, you know, male infertility. Depression, studies have shown people who are depressed have low libido. That might also be another cause of it. But then obese people, overweight people, you understand?
It
causes some hormonal changes, which reduces
the testosterone.
Yes.
Okay. So now there's a major problem. What then would you say are risk factors?
Okay. Now I'm going to explain something. You know, we said causes.
Yes.
And now we are seeing risk factors.
Yes.
There's a difference.
Yes.
You understand? A cause of something is that which, when removed, leads to the disappearance of the disease.
Okay.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That means the cause, for you to say there's a cause, that means the disease has to be present.
Okay.
But a risk factor would only increase the probability of a disease happening. It doesn't cause the disease. But if it is there, that the disease might happen.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
Mm.
You can't find the cause anywhere. The disease has to be present for you to say there's a cause. But risk factors are everywhere.
They're everywhere.
For example, drinking, smoking does not mean you will come down with lung cancer or liver cancer. You understand what I'm saying?
But it increases your risk.
It increases the probability of having. You get what I'm
saying?
Yes,
I do. Yes.
But when you say there is alcoholic liver disease, that means the alcohol is the cause.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? It is a cause in that instance. And so the risk factors that has been linked to male infertility include, like I said earlier, smoking tobacco, drinking alcohol, some illicit drugs like cocaine, being overweight, depression, you know, infections. Some infections might be a risk factor. They might not necessarily cause infertility, but it might be a risk factor. You understand? Some toxins, if you're exposed to toxins, you know, no matter the route through which the toxin gains access to your toxins are like poisons. You understand? So overheating of the testicles is also a risk factor. It might not cause, but it can be a cause and it can be a risk factor.
Well.
You understand? Trauma to the testicles. Maybe you're riding a bike and you hit something. You understand? You know, the bicycle seat can traumatize the testicles.
That's on the average Okadas.
No, bicycle.
Oh, proper bicycles. So that means that cyclists are at risk for testicular issues.
And you know, the more you pedal, your testicles are actually on the seat and your thighs are moving. You understand what I'm saying? So yes, it actually makes them prone to it. A history of undescended testicles might also be a risk factor. And some medical conditions like sickle cell disease, some chronic illnesses might also be a risk factor for male infertility.
Okay. Is male infertility treatable?
Yes, depends on the cause.
Okay.
Depends on the cause. But majorly, if it is due to infection, if it's due to infection and low sperm count, you understand, or low testosterone, you can give testosterone therapy. You can, you know, exogenous from, you can give testosterone tablets, testosterone medication to boost the person's testosterone level.
Okay, so what you're saying is that if the testosterone is low, there is medical intervention that can actually boost it up and increase or improve fertility.
Yes, so generally from the things I've mentioned, it's just treating the cause. Some are not treatable, like there's what we call azoospermia. Azo means zero. As long as there's still one sperm in every sperm count you take, as long as there's still one live sperm there is a probability that the count can be boosted.
Is it possible for somebody to not have any sperm?
Yes. The term is azoospermia. You know, I said before, oligospermia means few. It's lower than normal. Normospermia is normal.
Okay.
Oligo is less than normal.
So that would be like a medical condition. You're born that way.
Azo is zero. No, there can be... There can be, like, all these causes I mentioned.
So
might
it can
lead
just
to,
cause the sperm to decline
how,
and you get to a point where there's nothing
severe.
There.
Yes.
Okay.
Azoospermia, to the best of my knowledge, is not treatable. Oligospermia can be boosted. There's this thing they call oligo. You can have asthenospermia. That is your sperm not being able to swim. Asteno means asthenic. You're weak, you cannot swim.
Okay.
You understand? So there are some certain foods can even be used to boost sperm motility. Some can be used to boost sperm appearance. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I've seen someone with low sperm counts, abnormal sperm appearance and abnormal motility, and it was treated and everything became normal. Because for you to be able to impregnate a woman, your sperm count must be a minimum of, some will say 15 million per mil of sperm, some will say 20. I would go for 20. Your motility must be a minimum of 50%. Some say 40. I usually go for 50. The shape, morphology, the appearance, 50% must appear normal. 50% must be mobile, must be motile. So those are the requirements to impregnate.
I remember we were having a discussion and I remember you were talking about the fact that I think you cracked a joke. You said women will organize vigils for...
Religious homes
would organize vigils for women with fertility issues, and nobody remembers the poor men. That was the way you put it, and I remember asking, is that an issue? And I recall that really you don't really seem to hear much about male infertility.
Nobody will even come for the crusade. Nobody will come. And the funny thing is, it's actually 50% of infertile couples are usually from the guy. It's a 50-50 thing.
What do you think that government can do? Because I'm trying to think of whether I've heard of any government intervention. You know, when you hear advertisements and things about fertility, they seem to be geared towards the woman. And very little, if anything at all, is said about the male portion of this issue. What do you think government can do?
The only thing the government can do in this case, we are talking about adults here, You cannot force them. And it is not you can't say it's an epidemic. Just because one person is infected doesn't mean someone else's life is in danger. So there isn't really much the government can do. The government cannot force you to come and treat your infertility. You understand? It is not affecting.
But how expensive are treatments?
Depends on the
center. Are they readily accessible?
Depends on the cost. The treatment, the cost of treatment depends on the cost and on the center. And on the center, you are going for treatment. You understand what I'm saying? But generally, except you need some form of surgery, I really don't think the cost is high like this. There are some tablets you buy for people with low sperm count and what have you. They don't cost much, maybe like 3,000 per pack, and they use the pack for like 30 days, and they need to use the thing for like 3 months. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, so it's accessible.
It is accessible.
Now, let's talk a bit about the lifestyle habits that young people nowadays imbibe. Their lifestyle habits, they're sedentary. They are almost permanently on their laptops. And they are placing themselves at risk. How do you think parents can help their children? Most kids nowadays, you know, kids, particularly when they're teenagers, they want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. How do you think parents can encourage their children?
Well, you have to train them and try to instill that discipline in them right from childhood. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I'll just talk generally on how to prevent all these preventive steps one can take. You know, you don't smoke. You limit or abstain from alcohol. Preferably abstinence is good from alcohol, but we have to be realistic. So limit the amount of alcohol you take. You understand? Steer clear of illicit drugs. You just have to stay away from it. No matter how good you think it makes you feel, you steer clear. You control your weight. All this one that people say, I'm a foodie. You keep eating and eating and you keep gaining weight. Stop body shaming me. You know, people tend to hide under different movements, so to speak, and excuse. You know, they use that as an excuse for being lax and putting themselves at very, very great risk of contracting some preventable diseases. You see very overweight people going on air saying, nobody can body shame me, I'm beautiful the way I am, this, that. But you have a risk factor for so many diseases, you are killing yourself, I'm sorry to say. You understand what I'm saying? Some people say, shame can no chop me. But you have a tendency to
everything has to be in moderation.
You look at yourself, because the thing is, an overweight person, it's just like, as you are getting more overweight, your internal organs are not growing bigger. It is just your flesh and that is getting big. So you are putting more stress. Just like, okay, you are using this generator they call a Better Pass My Neighbor. You are living in a one-room apartment. The Better Pass My Neighbor generator is like a representative of your internal organs. Your apartment, your one-bedroom apartment, is like your body, your flesh. Then you move into a five-bedroom duplex, and you now take this in my Better Pass My Neighbor to power the five bedroom duplex, it will be a lot of stress. There's nothing like nobody's body shaming anybody. You have to control your weight.
So in other words, you would say that people should generally they should strive towards living healthy lives. They are healthy, best
you
lives.
You fall sick, you get to the hospital, the doctor will have to sweat and sweat just to get an IV line. You understand? It affects everybody, not just you. Don't think of yourself only. It affects everybody.
So obviously weight is critical in this issue.
Yes.
Now, is male infertility, is it genetic? Can it be inherited?
You can't inherit male infertility. You can't inherit, except there are some chromosomal abnormalities.
Okay, if you have hormonal...
No, not hormonal. Chromosomal.
Chromosomal.
You know,
okay, what are those?
The male is XY chromosome.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? The female is XX chromosome. So as a man, the father will donate the Y, the mother will donate the X. You know, the man pushes out two different types. There's the male sperm that has the XY chromosome, there's the female sperm that has the XX chromosome, depending on the one which gets to the egg first. So, but some people, instead of as a man having an XY chromosome, you can have XXY.
Okay.
That is two X chromosomes and one Y chromosome.
Okay.
I think that syndrome is called Klinefelter syndrome or something. That syndrome has infertility.
Infertility.
As part, yeah. So as those part are the kind of things that might.
So basically, just to recap in closing, what would you advise couples who have been trying for kids for a while? How would you advise them to proceed?
Okay.
In order to seek treatment, what advice would you give to them?
What I'll say is there's a difference. Religion and medicine are two different things.
Ah.
Each one plays its own part. I have nothing against religion. I have nothing against praying. But even the holy books will tell you faith without work is useless.
Mm.
If you are just praying and you're not doing the needful, you are not looking for a miracle, you are looking for magic. And from to the best of my knowledge, God is not a magician. You have to do the needful, and then He will bless your efforts.
So you're saying, while you pray, seek medical intervention.
Medical help. The men, the women usually don't have problems facing the issue head on. It's the men with their ego and everything. They need to drop their ego, especially if indicators are pointing to them that they might be the problem. They need to drop their ego. There's nothing shameful. You did not create yourself. It has happened. It has happened. What actually makes you a man is letting go of your ego and fixing.
And facing up to it and fixing
it.
Yes. Thank you very, very much, Doctor. Thank you so much. And that's it for this week on Your Health Matters. Remember, if you have any questions regarding this topic or any other health issues you would like us to address on the program, you can send us an email at drshonowo@gmail.com. You can also send a message to our WhatsApp number 0805-855-8650. You can also contact Dr. Samson Shonowo at Shonowo Hospital, number 6 Ayegbami Street off Fomilayo Bus Stop, Agege, Lagos. My name is Aide Oshisoya. And until next week when I present another edition of the program, please remember that your health matters.
Your health matters. Get health information and tips on how to stay healthy. This is Your Health Matters.